Blog Talk Radio.
What y'all thought y'all wasn't gonna see me? I'm the Osiris of this shit. Wu-Tang is here forever, motherfuckers. This 97, I, my niggas, and my nigga rest. Let's do it like this. I'ma rub your ass in the moonshine. Let's take it back to 79.
I form atomically. Socrates, philosophies, and hypotheses. Can't define how I be dropping these mockeries. Lyrically perform armed robbery. Flee with the lottery. Possibly they spotted me. Battle guard, showgun, explosion when my pen hits. Tremendous. Ultraviolet, shine, blind, forensic. I inspect you through the future, see millennium. Killer bees sold 50 gold, 60 platinum. Shackling the matches with drastic rap tactics. Graphic displays melt the steel like blacksmiths. Black Wu jackets, queen bees ease the guns in. Rumbling with patrolmen, tear gas, lace the function. Heads by the score, take flight inside a war. Chicks hit the floor, die hard fans, demand more. Behold the bold soldier, control the glow slowly. Proceeds the blow, swinging swords like shinobi. Stomp grounds and bam, footprints to solid rock. Who got it locked, performing live on your hottest fly?
As the world turns, I spread like germ. Bless the globe with the pestilence. The hard-headed never learn. This my testament to those burn. Play my position in the game of life, standing firm. On foreign land, jump the gun out the frying pan. Into the fire, transform into the ghost rider. A six-pack and a street car named Desire. Who got my back in the line of fire, holding back? What? My peoples, if you with me, where the fuck you at? Niggas is strapped and they trying to twist my beer cap. It's court adjourned for the bad seed from bad sperm. Herb got my wig fried like a bad perm. What the blood? Clots? We smoke pot and flow spot. You wanna think twice? I think not. The iron lung ain't got to tell you where it's coming from. Guns and Navarone tearing up your battle zone. Rip through your slumps.
I twist guns from the heart. Try to improve. Loop my voice on the LP. Martini on the slang rock. Certified chatterbox. Vocabulary darned talking. Tell your story walking. Take cover, kid, what? Run for your brother, kid. Run for your team and your six camp rhyme groupies. So I can squeeze with the advantage and get wasted. My deadly nose reigns supreme, your fort is basic compared to mine. Domino effect, arts and crafts, paragraphs contain cyanide. Take a free ride on my dart, I got the fashion. Catalog for all y'all that all praise through the guard.
The saga continues. Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang.
Olympic torch flaming, it burns so sweet. The thrill of victory, the agony defeat. Request slow, flaming deluxe slow. Four, judgment day cometh. Conquer is war, allow us to escape hell. Glow spinning bomb, pocket full of shells out the sky, golden arms. Tune spit the shitty Mortal Kombat sound. The fake boss that make the blood stain the ground. A jungle junkie, vigilante tantrum. A death kiss, catwalk, squeeze another anthem. Hold it for ransom, trigger lives with anesthesias. My orchestra, graceful, music ballerinas. My music Sicily, rich California smell. An axe kill adventure, paint a picture well. I sing a song from Sing Sing, sipping on Jing Sing. Righteous wax, chaperone, rotating ring.
Watch on the wooden soldiers, these cypherpunks couldn't hold us. 1,000 men rushing in. Not one nigga was sober, perpendicular to the square. We stand grow like flare, escape from your dragon's lair. In particular, my feet travel like a vortex. Through your spine, to the top of your cerebral cortex. Make you feel like you're busting up from raw sex. Enter through your right ventricle, clog up your bloodstream. High terminal, like Grand Central Station. Program fat baselines on ovation. Getting drunk like a fuck, I'm ducking 5-year probation.
War of the masses, the outcome disastrous. Many of the victim families save the ashes. A million names on walls engraved in plaques. Those who went back to see penalties for the act. Another heart is torn, as close ones mourn. Those who strayed, niggas get slayed on the song.
The track renders helpless and suffers from multiple stab wounds and leaked sounds that's heard. 93 million miles away from K1 to represent the nation. This is a gathering of the masses that come to pay respects to the Wu-Tang Clan. As we engage in battle, the crowd now screams in rage. The hot chief Jamel Ari takes the stage. Light is provided through sparks of energy from the mind that travels in rhyme form, giving sight to the blind. The dumb are mostly intrigued by the drum. Death only one can save self from. This relentless attack of the track spares none.
Yo, 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 fuck that. Look at all these crab niggas laid back. Living life in gray and black. Room is on my man's rack. Codeine was forcing your drink. You had a navy green. Solomon the fiend. Bitches overheard you scream. You two-faced the scum of the slump. I got your whole body numb. Blowing like Shalimar in 81 sound convincing. $1,000 court pop convincing. Head like Sonny Liston. Get block mission. Hold the fuck up. I'ma fasten your wig. Bad luck. I'll humiliate. Separate the English from the Dutch. It's me. Black noble Jew Ali. Came in threes. We like the Genovese. That's
want a queen on every continent, so I could escape the government, flee my residence. Settling, I'm militant minded, brilliant rhyme wins. The time is now for me to shine. Kids are innocent, blinded, society. Gotta be reminded of my diary, cause tragically, I carry the misery of centuries that sent to me, not coincidentally, intentionally, cause mentally, I represent the key. But it's a double-edged sword, see, trying to be godly, it's hard, especially in poverty's backyard. But violence is taking over, free enterprise and lies is idolized, cause you're deep inside. Without a law, go to Jehovah, to God. The lost tribe, you're forced to reside on the north side. Babylon is never penalized for being offside. So many lost lives. I wonder how long before the herd died. Today I heard the earth cry for the first time. It was the worst time. It was the worst time. The way I heard the earth cry.
I came to the shores of America. The sky that's a peddler, the Alpha and Omega, and the home of the beggars, the black settlers, who've been beaten, raped, lynched, robbed, and stoned, and called upon the urban service so they couldn't maintain it home. This dates back to 1555, when they captured the first tribe of men, and piled them in a pen, 50 feet high, and took them all on the 9,000 mile ride, and landed on the shore of a place they'd never seen before. We read about this inside the ancient books of war. Finders in stainless steel, stripped of their language, still survived the anguish of slavery, but still remain nameless. Separated to portions and tricked by John Hardy Hawkins, and sold on the auction, taught birth control and abortion. Rulers of the first part became slaves of the worst part. The devil's cursed God and reversed God, and turned God to dog and made people search hard. No relief came to the prophet by W.D. Farrar. Taught trauma, dropped our mamas off in Bahamas and Barbados. Tobago's separated us from slave boats, made our own brothers hate us, from Virgin Isle to Jamaica, Trinidad, Honduras, Haiti, Grenada, Bermuda to Cayman, mental enslavement, you black gods become awakened. At night time,
you can hear the earth cry, how many more black gods gotta die, when we realize there's no God in the sky, the devil tricked us, that's the worst lie. At night time, you can hear the earth cry, how many more black gods gotta die. You realize there's no God in the sky. The devil tricked us, that's the roach lie.
Peace, God, for real, not a spook nor a ghost. Not unseen, but seen and heard most of all. I'm God, control nine planets. Wisdom revolves around me, understanding. Science, my rhymes underrated. Pyramids building according to how we made it to be. Many shall come, few shall be chosen. 32 degrees below zero when you're frozen. Power refinement, my rhymes assignment is to crush negative bullshit in the line with the fusion. Cause that which is beyond 360 degrees is an illusion. Either you're deaf, dumb, or blind. Super hypocritical, dumb, 85, yo, it's time. T.I. without me don't exist. God's type of love divine is what I miss. Checking like a visual reflection, sort of supernatural. You know your mind, our text is via natural. Ultra gamma, the hammers, my energy compressed to a form of a threat for my enemy. Life is a circle that consists of a whole. No beginning, no end, no size, it's just a whole. Like in an event, I'm a percent. Dealt out 100, I'm 5, my degree is a black belt. Real, genuine, not authentic. Older than the sun, moon, and stars are precedented. In North America, success can be won as a game, and knowledge, understanding, still one of the same. Greatest reward, known to mankind, that winners never quit, and quitters never win in the mind. But in time, my degrees are getting deeper, thicker in the subconscious state of the sleeper. At night time, I can hear the earth cry, wonder how many black dogs gotta die. At night time, I can hear the earth cry, I wonder how many black gods must die. At night time, I can hear the earth cry, I wonder how many black gods must die. At night time, I can hear the earth cry, I hear a cry to the earth, I cry.
Peace, peace. I'm back once again with Dr. Aleem Bey. All right, we're going to get into the discussion about the Great Schism and the destruction of the Moore Science Temple of America. And the reason why we're going to get more into this information or into this particular paradigm is because there's a lot of confusion going on out there. And so we want to give our take on it. So let's get into it. Of course, everybody know about Prophet Noble Dr. Ali being born, Timothy Drew. And he was born January the 8th, 1886. but he actually was born near Clinton, or what's called Sampson County in North Carolina. If you read the 101 Morris questionnaire, question 11, where was Noble Dry Leaf born? His answer is in the state of North Carolina, 1886. There was an article in which that came out in 1993. Actually, it was August 15th, 1993, in which that came from the Charlotte Observer, which is here in North Carolina, in which that dated that particular Sunday, in which that states that North Carolina in 1690 reported the presence of Moors, and that they were, and that they are the ancestors of a people erroneously called Melungeons. Now, of course, the word Melungeon, Mel, is Greek, in which that Mel is the same as melanin or melanite, in which that melanated, or in which that means dark skin, dark complected, or black. But as the article says, erroneously called Melungeons, all right? But it was the presence of Moors. So, and this was back in the 1690s. It was before, it was, you know, prior to the so-called, a lot of the so-called times in which that they speak about, you know, as far as the slavery time, even though it was around 1619, allegedly, in which that they brought the first 20 slaves to the shores of North America. But amazingly, they don't never equate those particular Africans with Moors. And this is one of the disadvantages, and actually one of the problems in which that we're having today, because if you read the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People, it specifically states those who was here historically prior to the invasion of their territories by the Europeans, as well as those who was brought here involuntarily to the so-called New World, who freed themselves and wished to be, basically wished to be part of the culture in which that they was torn from. All right. So in both cases, we are still indigenous people. If we came from the continent of Africa, which is about 15%, or if we came about 85% in which that was already here, regardless of that fact, we are still indigenous, because we are still the oldest people on the face of the planet. However, it was stated that Sarah Turner, Prophet Noble Dry Leaf's aunt, who supposedly often beat him, once threw him in a blazing furnace, yet Allah saved him from the flames. Later on, he ran away from home, and one night while walking on the road, he heard a voice which stated, "Where thou go if I go?" All right. Now, it is also alleged that it was Sarah Turner, who was also part of the Turnica family, Washita Tunica family, or Choctaw, who raised Timothy Drew after the deaths of his parents, who is Eliza Turner and John Drew, and taught him his true heritage, history, lineage, and legacy. Now, in 1902, at the age of 16, Timothy Drew became a merchant sea mariner, according to reports, and traveled to Egypt, where he was initiated into the Leicester Mystery System of the Great Pyramids, and also traveled to Morocco, Hajjad, Saudi Arabia, as it was called now, and etc., where he studied Islam under some of the top imams of North Africa. Now, of course, this is all alleged. We have no proof of all of this, but this is what has been stated by many. Now, after Timothy Drew proved his prophethood before the higher fast of Egypt, he made his only pilgrimage to Mecca, and received a new name called El Hajj Sheikh Abdul Sharif Ali. And a charter was given to him in order to teach Islam in America from the Sultan Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah Rahman bin Faisal Al Saud. Now, he was the head at that time of the holy city of Mecca and the direct descendant of Hagar. Of course, Hagar is allegorical, all right? This is what people have to realize, is that it was allegorical. is a fictional character. Hagar didn't exist as a biblical character. Hagar is actually a story in which that was taken from Hedheru or Hathor from out of ancient Kemet, in which that symbolized the eye of Heru. But that's another story. We get into that a little bit later. By 1924, Professor Drew had a dream in which soon after he annexed his name with Ali. All right. Thus becoming Prophet Noble Drew Ali. Now, the Prophet later honored the Sultan by placing his image in the first edition of the Moorish Holy Quran, Circle 7. Now, according to the Moorish Science account, at the age of 16, he befriended a band of Roma or Gypsies. All right. And of course, the word Gypsy is short for Egyptians, with whom he traveled the world. Although other accounts state he shipped out as a merchant seaman, or became a railway express mariner, and joined, or some say that he joined the circus and became a stage magician. You all right? Some researchers wonder whether Timothy Drew actually left the States at all. All right? Now, that's because there's no proof of this ever happening. However, these are the things in which that has been said concerning him. In 1906, Timothy Drew was a train expressman called a Pullman Porter, working for Illinois Central, also known as the Main Line of Mid-American Railroad. He was raised in the Baptist Church and moved to Newark, New Jersey in 1907 and attempted to build a militant Christian organization to combat racism and segregation. This group was known as the Drew Baptist Movement. It was this information is rarely ever talked about. Drew had to compete with the growing influence of the major black churches, such as African Methodist Episcopal Church, and one of the first bishops was Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, who was a relative of the Prophet Noble Drew Ali, and the Black Baptist Church. Now, Drew soon discarded the notion of founding a Christian organization and turned to a new concept of Islam. So between 1908 and 1910, it is alleged that Drew returned from the East to the States and joined the Prince Hall Masons, and is not the Prince Hall affiliate. It was the Prince Hall origin. This is where many are messing up at, saying that he's not a Mason because they have checked the records in the Prince Hall affiliate. Well, we have checked the records in the Prince Hall origin, and it has been stated to me by those who are Prince Hall origin that he was a member of the Prince Hall origin, which is the National Compact. Now, if you read Islam in the African American Experience by Richard Brent Turner, he states some of this information which that we're talking about. Timothy Drew became a noble of the ancient Egyptian Arabic Order of Mystic Shrine. But unlike others, he became attached to the principles and the creed and the religion of the one God principle as taught by Prophet Muhammad. Now, you can read Who is Prophet Noble Drew Ali by Chief Minister Dr. Ross Sadiel, and he goes into more information concerning that. By 1912, he united himself with two other individuals, one by the name of Solomon Muhammad, and the other represented the Emir Abdullah Karim El of Morocco, and that was his Masonic Shrine of Brothers, to form a Masonic temple. You need three individuals, all right? That I thought that was interesting itself. And of course, what comes from that, they received certain books, lessons, and knowledge to think on greater things. And by 1913, the Canaanite Temple was born from this union on May 1st, 1913. In Newark, New Jersey, or known as Jerusalem. The Canaanite Temple was located in Newark, New Jersey, and the address of the building was 7 Ruckus Street, corner 12 Avenue, and West Market Street. All right. Now, Prophet Drew, or Professor Drew's, later on, by some, speculated that there was two different persons. Now, let me explain what this was talking about, that Professor Drew's leadership began to be challenged by this guy by the name of Walid Abdullah Farad Muhammad Ali. Now, some use that his name actually was David Ford L. Later on, but some speculate that there was two different persons. And in 1916, while teaching Arabic classes at the Canaanite Temple in Newark, New Jersey, him and Professor Drew got into a dispute where he claimed that Professor Drew was teaching a version of Islam that was watered down. His account, according to Brother Claudius M. L. in his book, The Biography of the Moors, he writes, later, as time went on, the prophet's accomplishments was temporarily stopped. He received his first of many troubles to be faced. A newcomer came into the picture. He was an Arab named Farad Muhammad, a Syrian Egyptian man named Walid Abdullah Farad Muhammad Ali, from a Muslim Middle Eastern country of Arabia, who came to Newark teaching Arabic. Being that the Muslim religion and the national side was new to the followers of Noble Drawley, the Arabian became more interested in, you know, to most of the people. The prophet never taught a foreign language to his followers. He taught the people in the language they knew all their lives, English, a language that has been with people since slavery times, 134 years ago or so. Of course, it wasn't that long ago during that particular time. The prophet speaks to some of the followers, elaborating on the events that had taken place. He told the gathering how the foreigner had come in and scattered his children, his followers. And the prophet predicted that something would take over the Arabian for what he had done. Now, this split caused one fraction to stay in Newark, New Jersey, and Professor Drew named it the Holy Moabite Temple of Science of the World, in which that is also known as the Moore's Holy Temple of Science of the World. And while Professor Drew and his faction moved from Newark, New Jersey to Chicago, Illinois the same year, on May 1st, 1916, he founded the Moorish National Divine Movement of North America. And you can read this in the Encyclopedia of African and African-American Religions by Stephen D. Glazier. It says, during the same year, 1916, the so-called Jewish people established the Zionist movement. No coincidence, because 3 years earlier, 1913, with him forming the Canaanite Temple, less than a year later, the so-called Vatican incorporated and do the exact same thing as Prophet Noble Drew Ali. All right, and this is what formed the so-called Papal State, which is the actual state inside of a country known as Italy, within the confines of a territory called Rome. Now, the Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the World became incorporated under the name Moorish Temple of Science, also known as the Temple of Islam, which has been set aside in 1925 as a civic organization under the laws of the state of Illinois, November 29, 1926. Now, too many are caught up in the illusion, and they cannot see what the prophet really did. Now, before I get to what the prophet did, let's get into the reason why the Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the World could not be used in a civic, as a civic organization. So they had to change it to the Moorish Temple of Science, and they couldn't say the Moorish Holy Temple of Science because the word holy implies a religion. So as a civic organization, it was recommended not to put the word holy in there and just make it into the Moorish Temple of Science. Okay? Now, by November 29th, 1926, was the actual day of the Articles of Incorporation filed by the Prophet along with others for the upliftment of fallen humanity. And it was accepted, and the charter was issued, not the day it was filed. Remember, the Prophet said before he tells us he was already, he had already done it, and the charter of the Moorish Temple of Science was now in effect as a civic corporation of the state of Illinois, but having its own jurisdiction as a subdivision of the city of Chicago, a private sector. All right, it was a private sector, as the Catholic Church, Vatican City, did a year later, like we said, to be incorporated within Rome, Italy. Now, this is the importance of the certificate of corporation, which is the number 10580, known as the Charter. The first nationality card, as well as the ADAPT chamber, was formed under the original civic corporate status. And it was in these ADAPT chambers, Moors was instructed and sent out with the learning truth of the Prophet Noble Dr. Ali, who was instructed to teach our people and erect temples in the name of the Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the World, officially the Moorish Temple of Science, between 1926-1928. Now, of course, you can actually get a copy of this information. You can get Noble Dr. Ali, James Lomax Bay, Johnny Reynolds, Eddie Watts, and Sammy Ruckers. Their names was actually on the one in 1926, in which they formed a civic organization. Right, and those are the individuals who was part of the council at that time. As a matter of fact, James Lomax Bay was a director or trustee on the 1926 paperwork, like we was talking about, for the Moorish Holy Temple of Science, but was not a director on the paperwork for the Moorish Science Temple of America. In 1928, you will see the names on the particular paperwork. And you see the names Noble Dr. Ali, Edward Melville, Marla Bay, Lovett Bay, and Foreman Bay. Now, Foreman Bay's daughter is Mary Foreman Bay, who became Mary Dr. Ali, the second wife of Prophet Noble Dr. Ali. And then we get more into her in a second here. Now, in the Moorish literature, it states in the Moorish leader, historical message to America, Prophet Noble Dr. Ali states that we organized as the Moorish Temple of Science in the year 1925 and was legally incorporated as a civic organization under the laws of the state of Illinois, November 29, 1926. And since the work of the Moorish Science Temple of America was largely religious, the organization had been largely changed to a religious corporation as a and an affidavit to this effect had been properly filed in the county Cook County Recorder Office in Illinois. The name Moorish Temple of Science was changed to the Moorish Science Temple of America May 2nd, 1928, and a special meeting was called by July 20th, 1928, and the first governors or sheikhs of the temples were named as the new board of directors for the now Moorish Science Temple of America on August 1st, 1928 at 2:52 p.m. The affidavit known as our authority and the form 1099 was filed in the County Cook office as notification of the reorganizing of the temple, changing its status from a civic organization to a civic religious organization that was in accordance with the legal requirements of the Secretary of State of Illinois. And the reason why we say that it was still a civic organization is real simple, is because they was never up under a 501c3. That did not come into effect until the 1960s, up under Lyndon B. Johnson. And as you see, know, many politicians were part of the Moorish Science Temple of America. You can go and do your research on that. All right, matter of fact, up until 1934, until Charles Kirkman Bay formed his Moorish Science Temple of America Incorporated, you would see that the Moorish Holy Temple of Science, as well as the Moorish Science Temple of America, both was used. As a matter of fact, the late Grand Sheikh Hamid Il said, when I became a member in the March 1928, the chart on the wall of the meeting hall read Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the World. Our nationality cards read the Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the World. Later on in the year of 1928, the prophet said that he had to strike his charters. By that, in most of his temples, he had a strip of paper, which read Moorish Science Temple of America, and this was pasted on the charters, covering up the Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the World. There was a few Moorish charters that he did not touch, one in Chicago, one in Charleston, West Virginia. And at that time, the questionnaire and the Quran read Moorish Holy Temple of Science. As a matter of fact, after the death of Prophet Noble Dr. Ali, many went back to using the Moorish Holy Temple of Science because it was corrupted as they felt, by Charles Kirkman Bay because of the Moorish Science Temple of America Incorporated. And anyone who used Moorish Science Temple of America, they had a tendency of trying to take them to court. So everybody actually was the Emily Ills group, in which that survived, as well as the John's Given Ills group. Both groups was using the Moorish Holy Temple of Science. All right. Now, Prophet Nobadra Ali organized the Moorish Science Temple along the line similar to the Masonic Lodges. And if you don't want to believe that, then sorry for you. With local temple branches and adept chambers teaching the esoteric wisdom derived from the secret circles of the Eastern sages, the master adepts of Moorish science. Now, the faith of Islam practiced by those who were members of the Moorish Science Temple of America is likened to that of a Sufi degree of Islam. All right. Now, for those who don't know, Sufi teachings are derived from ancient Kemet. As we'll get into that in a second, it says that the Moorish Science Temple of America in 1928 and in the Moorish Divine and National Movement of Religion, in the Moorish Divine National Movement, our religion is Islamism. That's old-time religion. Now, in the 101 Moorish questionnaire, 17 question, it says, what is our religion? Answer, Islamism. 18, is that a new or is that an old-time religion? Answer, old-time religion. Now, in the oral statements and prophecies of Prophet Nobadra Ali, he states, you Moors don't recognize Islam because it is yours. Your religion is Islamism, something you live every day. Now, in Sufism by Hazrat Inayat Khan states, Sufism originated from the ancient school of Egyptian mysteries, a school which existed even before Abraham, the father of three great religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, and is an allegory. Abraham is the allegory. Matter of fact, his name, Ab-Ra-Ham, is ancient Kemetic. Ab means father, Ra means son, Ham means black. All right, we'll get into that in a second. Also, those who know Sufism from superficial writings and sometimes from translation of the Arabic or Persian literature are apt to think that Sufism is the mystical side of Islam. In reality, it is not. Sufism existed before Muhammad, before Jesus Christ, before Abraham, because it was all allegory. So before those times, so before 1400 years ago, before 2000 years ago, before 4000 years ago. All right. Now you can read African American Religious Cultures by Anthony B. Penn, Stephen C. Finley, and Torin Alexander, and they write that the Moors teach that our Islam is the translation of wisdom of the Egyptians, Kemetic systems of the into the Arabic language. Okay, now, for those who don't know, Arabic is about 68% Metunata. All right? Hebrew is about 76%. All right? By the Prophet Muhammad. All right? Now, once again, Prophet Muhammad is allegory. We'll get into that in a few minutes also. When Ali taught, he called it Islamism. Islamism was to be understood as a much older than our Islam, the old-time religion that descended from the ancient mystery system of Kemet or Egypt. The mysteries of Kemet represents humanity's modern, earliest records, understanding of God and of the divine, and as such, it is the foundation of all the religions of the world. Now, the esoteric in Islam today, which is called Tasawwuf, which is actually Sufism in Arabic. One of the things is that Sufism actually means wool, but many have made it out to be a woolen coat or worn as a woolen coat. But actually it's talking about the woolly hair, because the hair is what brings down the frequencies of the cosmos. Those are your antennas. So Sufism actually is talking about how to draw down the energy of the cosmos and commune with the ancestors. And also, You read The Masons and the Moors by Mukmin Sabahedin. He states that Sufi masters are also renowned for communicating with their followers through dreams. There are numerous stories of Sufi saints appearing in their disciple dreams and using telepathy to direct followers to undertake a special mission. The Sufi master is revered by his disciples for being in contact with a level of higher consciousness. His mission on earth directs his is by higher power. Studying the lives of some of the greatest Sufi masters, you will often find them to be wandering holy men or women whose actions are wholly misunderstood by Orthodox believers. The shrines of Sufi masters are centers of trance, dance, exorcism, and miraculous healing. All right. Now, these Sufi traditions is integral to more science. One and the same, as a matter of fact. All right. The initiation methodology of the ancient Moor science was designed to provide the necessary instructions and guidance for those who use the tools that would lead to apprentice towards mastery of the physical, mental, psychic, which is the soul and the spiritual planes. These keys for the higher functions and laws of the universe were imprinted via frequency into the minds of the adept to foster understanding of the greater Gnostics, which means the knower, that created, governed, and guided the universe and its cosmic cycles. Now, if you read in the Moorish Holy Quran, Sura 7, it speaks about the revealers of light. Who are the revealers of light? Well, the revealers of light encompasses this great body of knowledge, all right, of the ancients, the ones that, you know, that death has forgotten. The names and titles for those elect luminaries differs upon the language and the degrees. An example of this can be found in the title in the seat of Melchizedek and Imhotep. All right. In Hebrew, Melchizedek is defined as the king of righteousness and peace, which is Hebrews the 7th chapter, 1st through the 3rd verse, just as Imhotep is defined in the Kemet or the Egyptian mysteries as the king of peace. So Melchizedek is actually taken from Imhotep, who actually did live and who was the third dynasty prime vizier or prime minister. Okay. Now we know that Yahshua or Jesus was known as the Prince of Peace, and he was after the order of Melchizedek. So he was after the order of Imhotep. All right. Matter of fact, all those who was initiated into the ancient mystery schools and who become healers are after the order of Imhotep. So that is the real individual that existed. And matter of fact, Imhotep is where they get the portion of the characterization of the Jesus character in your Bible. It comes from the actual living entity or being or person. Natural person, that is, who lived during the third dynasty and who was the prime vizier under that Jehuti, who was known as Zoser. All right. Now, in the Moorish Holy Quran, Circle 7, of course, you got the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ by Levi Dowling, in which that state how Jesus went through the ancient mystery school of Egypt and had to take 7 initiations. And that's what happened during the 18 years, the 18 circumcision years from the age of 12 to the age of 30, when he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Of course, John the Baptist is Anpu or Anubis. All right. And Anpu was known as the baptizer. So we come to find out, based on the storyline coming from out of ancient Kemet, then Jesus would be Heru. All right? He was half brothers. Or Saul had sex with Nebhet, in which that produced Anpu. Or a phallus was made for him by Tahuti, in which that his wife, Arset, transformed her body into a bird, the Ba, the soul, and flapped her wings hard enough in order to draw the essence out of him, hence the semen, in order to become impregnated, the immaculate conception, to produce Heru. Tahuti symbolizes in your Bible Gabriel, the angel, messenger of God, who came to Mary, which is Arset. Matter of fact, her name was Mary, is Arset Mary, M-E-R-I, which became M-A-R-Y. So all of this comes from the ancient mystery school. Your Bible, your Quran. Matter of fact, the Hindu texts, the Buddhist texts, all of these are ancient Egyptian texts. Ancient Egyptian information, the ancient mystery school. The esteemed scholar and researcher, Dr. George G.M. James, in his monumental book titled Stolen Legacy, which was written in 1954, wrote that Egyptian mystery school, which he maintained that was a complex system of neophyte initiations, were developed and worked in Kemet or Egypt. All right? As a matter of fact, you can get Man, God, and Civilization by Dr. John G. Jackson, 1972, in which that he speaks about Freemasonry as veiled in the Coptic Gnostic Egyptian text, and that the term Freemason is derived from the word Freemason, which is spelled P-R-E-E-M-E-S-S-E-N, which meant the son of light, or the sons of light. And these sons of light are the same divine entities identified in the Moorish Holy Circle, Moorish Holy Quran Circle 7, as the revealers of light. He goes on to further and states that the term Freemason was traced back to the ancient Kemetic Empire, Egypt. It comes from a combine of two Kemetic words, free, which is P-H-R-E, the sun, and mas, M-A-S, a child, meaning children of the sun, and or sons and daughters of light. So these two words combine to make the word Freemason. The term originated in Egypt and proves that the first Freemasons were ancient Africans. It also shows that the order originated in Africa. And if you don't believe that, then you get Primordial Signs and Symbols of Man by Albert Churchward. Frank C. Higgins also defines the Freemasons as the same. He has the word Freemason from Egypt written in 1923 in his books. And what is a Freemason? It's supposed to be an adept or a master in the ancient esoteric knowledge of the art, art, science, mathematics, and other great aspects of learning of the old world. The ancient super scientists were the ones that left the earth with codes written in astrological ideograms, sacred languages such as hieroglyphics or metuneta, and codified measurements and mathematical ratios. This is how they left it. This is why you can go into the Moorish Holy Quran, Circle 7, and it breaks down a whole chapter based on Freemasonry. I get into that in a second. But you can read more in the esoteric connection between the Moorish Revealers of Light and the Masonic Sons of Light by Z.A.L. Now, let's get into some of the influences. We have Levi Dowlins, who was a Theosophic or Rosicrucian and mystic, and he wrote the Aquarian Gospels of Jesus Christ of the Piscean Age, which was first published in 1908. And he is said to have basically transcribed the text from the book, from the Akashic Records. All right, now of course the Akashic Records is the universal library in which that channeled information can actually come down. But this is what he said he gathered from. But when we get into the facts, we find out that the Moorish Americans are required to master the Holy Quran, which was a text written in 1926 by Prophet Nobuadra Ali, or prepared divinely by Prophet Nobuadra Ali, I should say. It was not to be confused with the Orthodox Quran inspired by the said Arabian prophet Muhammad. Now, Dhruali's Holy Quran is an abbreviated version of the Tibetan text written by the Pali language before being translated into English. The more complete version of the Tibetan text is the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ, written by Levi Dowens, and this is where he got his information from. Professor Drew took parts of the book from the Rosicrucian works unto D.I. Grant in 1925, previous titled The Infinite Wisdom Lesson, 1923, published by the AMARC, the Ancient Mystic Order of the Rosicrucians. And most of it, the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ, published in 1908 by esoteric Ohio preacher Levi Dowens. And in the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ, Dowens describes Jesus supposedly traveled to India, Egypt, and Palestine during the 18 years of his life, which was not accounted for by the New Testament. Right? So we know that Nobuadra Ali did not claim to be the author of the work per se. All right? Although the final section of the Quran, chapter 45 through 48, are in his purview, hand. All right. So the Quran is in three major sections. It says chapter 2 to 19 contain the lost history of Jesus as a child and a young man. He travels in the teachings of the Palestine, Egypt, Asia Minor, India. The ministries of John the Baptist also fits heavily into the section. The most probable source for this material is the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. All right. Although the man credits, with his works, Levi Dowens, as in case of Nobuadra Ali, did not claim authorship, but rather suggests that it was revealed or pre-existing text. All right. The second major section of the Quran, chapter 20 through 44, seems to be derived from the ancient Egyptian text, from clues of the text. It has been suggested that the 20th century scholar familiar with archaeological discoveries in Egypt, that most of the book was written sometime after 1360 BCE by Amenhotep IV, who was known as Akhenaten, Pharaoh of Egypt, all right, or Nergu, and by some of his successors in the great Egyptian school of mysticism. Right now, this is coming from Professor Ravana Bey, third generation Moorish scientist, Moorish part of the Moorish Science Temple of America, as well as also he was one of the principal educators. Matter of fact, he was the Minister of Education for the Washington D.W. Dumanya. And you can find his article, and it's called The Moorish American, Prophet Nobuadra Ali. He says, virtually nothing is known with certainty about the life of Moorish American Prophet Nobuadra Ali. Very little has survived in the form of written documents. Born Timothy Drew on January the 8th, 1886, in the state of North Carolina, Drew received the Muslim name Sharif Abdul Ali while studying in Egypt. The name of his mother and father has not survived. However, his mother is said to have been of a Moorish extraction, and he is said to have been of a direct descendant of the Moors of the Northwest Africa, and Drew's Ali mother is said to have been of Cherokee ancestry. By the early 1800s, the Drew family is known to have settled in Newark, New Jersey. However, it is in New York City that the Drew family is said to have been taught by the great Muslim master adept Jamal al-Adin al-Afghani, who came to visit the United States in the winter of 1882-1883. Al-Afghani is said to have been joined by his disciple and chief initiate Muhammad Abdel. The two Muslim missionaries had come to the United States to propagate the doctrine of the ancestral and the cultural pride, all right, under the banner of pan-Islam. which is meant to ensure that the divine teachings of the ancestors are not forgotten amongst the Moors of North America. In other words, the teachings of Sufism, because he actually was a Sufi practitioner. To be sure, it is in response to the divine teaching of Alif Ghani and Muhammad Akbar that the Moorish American National Movement was founded by Prophet Nobadar Ali in 1916. With the arrival of Afghani, the Drew family became the chief supporters of Salafiyya and Pan-Africanism. And at hand, Alif Ghani, Drew family was inducted into the sacred order, all right, known as the Brethren of Purity, a Sufi esoteric brotherhood. This brotherhood practiced a combined form of Neo-Pythagoreanism and Neo-Platonism. Now, of course, Pythagoras and Plato. It's now been found out that they was allegories also, but themselves derived from the ancient Egyptian mystery school. So that's where it's derived from. From the Western perspective, this form of esotericism will appear to be drawn from two opposing principles. And it says in the double truth theory propagated before Ibn Rushd. And it says this form of esotericism is best known in the Muslim world as the Illuminatus traditions. So Illuminati traditions, whose chief advocate was Ismail ibn Jafar al-Sadid and Mullah Sadra. Now, it says, in his early teenage years, Drew Ali arrived in Egypt to study amongst the great neophytes of Afghani and Muhammad Abdel. While studying at the Al-Azhar University, Drew Ali came under the influence of Muhammad Rashid Rida and Aziz Ali al-Masri Bey, as well as the great Egyptian nationalist Dus Muhammad Ali Ifani Bey, who lived in London, England at the time. And of course, Dus Muhammad Ali Ifani Bey was also the teacher to John the Baptist, as we refer to him as the forerunner to Prophet Nobadar Ali, known as Sir Messiah Garvey, Marcus Garvey. All right. And Drew Ali is also said to have studied at the old Ethiopian college in the Vatican City, Rome, Italy. Having returned to the United States in 1916, Drew Ali immediately organized the Moorish Science Temple of America and launched the Moorish National Movement. In his efforts, Drew Ali was greatly influenced by Marcus Garvey, as well as the Hebrew Falashian Rabbi Arnold Josiah Ford and Rabbi Wentworth Arthur Matthews. Now, both of them was also members of Marcus Garvey movement, Back to Africa movement, or what is known as the UNIA, the Universal Negro Improvement Association. And on July 20th, 1929, Drew Ali is said to have veiled the form and to have gone into occultation. With respect to the sexuality and the authorized of Jesus, Drew Ali, like the Holy Prophet Muhammad, is acknowledged as a Messiah, or peripheral Messiah. In this regard, Drew Ali is believed to have been a secondary prophet. Jesus is held to be a primary prophet. The term Messiah, however, is applied to both Jesus and Drew Ali, as well as the Holy Prophet Muhammad. For all the true prophets are identified as the Logos incarnated. In other words, the Word made flesh. And as Prophet Nobadar Ali says within the particular teachings, that angels as well as us, man, women are mere thoughts of Allah, garbed in flesh. Now, the primary prophet to the fullest extent and the secondary prophet to the lesser extent, to be sure, both Jesus and Drew Ali are acknowledged by Moorish Americans as the realization and actualization of the Logos, for all of humanity is endowed with the Logos, for its embryonic beginning. Moorish Americans are required to master the Holy Quran, a text written in 1926 by the Prophet Nobadra Ali. It is not to be confused. And this is what he said. He's saying the same thing that we were just talking about, not to be confused with the Holy Quran of the Arabian Prophet Muhammad. Drali, Holy Quran is a abbreviated version of the text from Tibet, written in the Pali language before the translation into English. The Inquiring Gospel of Jesus Christ, edited by Alfonso Lee, counters under the pseudonym Eliphas Levi Dowlands. Now, for those who don't know, Eliphas Levi was actually a teacher and actually gave up his seat as being head of the Rosicrucians in the world to the Moor by the name of Pascal Beverly Randolph. We'll get into that in a few also. There's a lot of things we got to get back to because there's so much information, and I don't have but so much time to get through it. But he goes on in the article, on July 20th, 1929, Drali expired, but 2 weeks after his death, Sheikh John, given ill, publicly announced that he was the reincarnated Prophet Nobadra Ali, August 7th, 1929, at a meeting held at the Parthians Hall, 3737 South Street, State Street in Chicago. John Gibbon Ills was a native of Sumter, South Carolina. He had come to Chicago May 14, 1925, then shortly thereafter embraced the teachings of Nobadra Ali. Suffice to say that the authority of Sheikh John Gibbon Ills was contested first by Abdullah Farad Muhammad Ali and both Millie Ill and Kirkman Bey. The latter two went on to establish their own separate Moorish science temples. The former, however, also known as Professor Foy, converted one of the Detroit temples to his own temple of the lost found people of Islam. In other words, he called it the Temple of Islam, which became later on the Nation of Islam, in which, as we said earlier, that in the 1920s, Drali and them was also referred to their temples as the Temple of Islam. Now, Paul Robert Poole Bey, also known as Elijah Muhammad, was a convert of Farad. And when Farad returned to the Middle East, Elijah assumed leadership and changed his name to Allah's Temple and changed the name to Allah's Temple of Islam. All right. Now, he didn't really turn to the Middle East. He actually went to California. We'll get into that in a few, too. Now, with the death of Elijah in 1975, the leadership of the Temple of Islam was divided between Elijah's son, Wafdi Muhammad, and Louis Farrakhan. The Moorish American ethnic group has subdivided into three autonomous sects, now headed by following Sheikhs, Muhammad Ali El, the son of Sheikh John Gibbon El, Jerome Bey, and All Love El. All right. Now, we're going to get into some other information here. By the first convention of the Moorish Science Temple of 1928, his membership had flourished. The second Supreme Grand Business Manager, Aaron Payne L., was quoted that the numbers were well over 12,000 in 1928. And 15 temples was established in 10 different states. However, when Prophet Nobadra Ali veiled from July 20th, 1929, Prophet Nobadra Ali had established 19 branch temples and 20 subordinate temples, and his membership ran well over 100,000. Okay. Faithful members and followers that established Moorish businesses, newspapers, schools, and Prophet Nobadra Ali became a early voice in the nationalist movement. Now, being that there was so much money that was being made, jealousy arose And by 1929, Nobuhiro Ali has created a multi-million dollar empire. And jealousy provoked several of the MSTA high-level businessmen. One of his officers was Sheik Claude D. Green Bey, who accused Prof. Nobuhiro Ali of wasting MSTA revenue on himself and a succession of women. One of Drew Ali's wives was a lady that Claude Green admired and loved. So that would be the reason in which that prompted him in order to make the accusations, in which that supposedly $8,000 was missing from the fund. And so it is alleged that who actually was Pearl Drew Ali, and Sheik Claude Green Bey had an affair. And this is what popped off everything, in which that caused the problems. And so you'll find an article in which that states that Brother Green Bey quit business manager post. And he goes on in order to not only quit the post, but to take Prof. Nobuhiro Ali things out of the office at the Unity Hall and put them out on the side of the street. And he himself declared himself as the head of the Morris Science Temple of America. And this is what happened. So Prof. Nobuhiro Ali was already warned, he already started warning them. One in particular, he warned Supreme Grand Governor James Lomax Bay on December 27th, 1928. All right? And Drew attended a meeting on February 15th, 1929, where Supreme Grand Governor James Lomax Bay stated that he was now in power and the finances was now in front of, and he said this in front of 1,500 members and the prophet himself, which was brought about charges of embezzlement of about the $8,000 and the money that prophet had been using for the MSTA business on that particular Sunday. Now, Supreme Grand Business Manager Claude Green Bey held a special meeting with Brother James Lomax Bey about removing the prophet and replacing Brother James Lomax Bey as the new head and even starting their own organization if necessary, because it was believed by them that Brother James Lomax Bey had enough followers in Detroit and that Brother Claude Green Bey had enough followers, including Brother Smalls Bay and Sister Pearl Drew Ali and Brother Charles Kirkman Bay to pull it off. These were the individuals in which that betrayed Prof. Nobuhiro Ali. The original members of the Supreme Grand Council, Prof. Nobuhiro Ali, it was Brother George Blackwell Bay of Chicago, Brother Richard Ross Bay, Chicago, Governor James Lomax Bay of Detroit, Michigan, Temple 4, Governor Emily Ill, Chicago, Temple 1, Brother Claude Green Bay, Temple 1, and Sister Pearl Drew Ali, Temple 1. And the Supreme Grand Council position was Supreme Grand Chairman, Supreme Grand Chief, Supreme Business Manager, Supreme Grand Governor, Supreme Historian, Supreme Treasurer, and Supreme Secretary. Nevertheless, they thought that they had enough followers. And the temples was 3, 4, 7, 9, 15, and 18 at that time. And the prophet heard about this coup and held a special meeting with the Supreme Council. In other words, those who were not treacherous, and issued a proclamation saying, signed by the Prophet Nobuhiro Ali, that and Emilio and T. Crumley Bay and C. Charles Bay removing those four members from the council. Brother James Lomax Bay, Brother Claude Green Bay, Sister Pearl Drew Ali, who was the wife of Prof. Nobuhiro Ali, and Smalls Bay, immediately having all their credentials revoked and dismissed them from their official position and enrollment. So the prophet changed the Supreme Council around. And Aaron Hall replaced Claude Green Bay as the Supreme Business Manager. And Richard H. Ross Bay replaced Claude Green as the managing editor of the Morris Guide newspaper. And Supreme Grand Governor James Lomax Bay was replaced by Grand Sheik David Ford L. And this is something in which that isn't talked about. The Supreme Secretary Sister Pearl Drew Ali was replaced by Supreme Secretary Sister Mary Drew Ali, who was forming Ali's daughter. Forming Bay's daughter, excuse me. And by March 1929, that struggle for power erupted between the profitable Drew Ali and his former business manager, Claude Green Bay. And Claude Green Bay now staged his own coup by pronouncing himself the Supreme Grand Chairman. And profitable Drew Ali files and furniture was thrown out onto the street. And Claude Green Bay took a number of noble Drew Ali's followers along with him. So profitable Drew Ali requested Ira Johnson Bay from Pittsburgh and others to quell the rebellion. As a matter of fact, it was even said to take it to remove the bad tooth. And after the meeting with Ira Johnson Bay and others, helped with profitable Drew Ali, after this situation, Ira Johnson Bay allegedly took it upon himself to remove the problem, called the bad tooth, altogether. And Ira Johnson Bay and three other members paid Claude Green a visit on March 21st, 1929, and there was a fight that broke out behind the Boosters Club where Unity Hall was located at 3140 Indiana Avenue, where Claude Green Bay was shot by Ira Johnson Bay and stabbed multiple times. Later, Small Bay admitted it was Ira Johnson Bay that had done the shooting to the police. It was Brother Small's Bay testimony about the meeting that Prophet Noble Drew Ali held before the meeting that caused the police to charge the Prophet in connection with it and take him to jail. And Brother Smalls Bay, having been upset about having been removed from the office and replaced by Morris L. by the Supreme Grand Council for supporting Claude Green and James Lomax. And on March 22nd, 1929, shots were also fired at James Lomax at Temple No. 4, supposedly by Ira Johnson Bay, who was said to have been seen outside on a local phone. But he was missed. And a fight broke out between those loyal to James Lomax and those loyal to the Prophet. Then a full riot broke out of two officers, and two more got badly hurt. All right, and the two more that got hurt was S. Stone Bay and Z. Lloyd Bay. However, during the time of the shooting, it is said that Drew was out of town and he was dealing with Supreme Grand Sheik James Lomax Bay. And James Lomax Bay had also supported James Claude Green Bay attempted coup as he staged his own a month earlier. James Lomax eventually left the country during the preceding turmoil and went to Turkey and changed his name to Professor Azaldin Muhammad and returned in the 1930s from Egypt and founded the Adinu Alahi Universal Arabic Association, a Sunni organization. And then when Drew Ali returned to Chicago, the police arrested him and other members of the community on suspicion of having instigated the killing or accessory to homicide. But no indictment was sworn for Drew Ali at the time. So Drew was arrested and allegedly beaten by the cops and released on bond or bail pending an indictment. And Prophet Drew promoted David Ford L., a.k.a. Master Fra Muhammad, as it is said, even though the Nation Islam publicly denies this, as the acting head Supreme Grand Chairman in place of the Supreme Grand Sheik, Emil Yeo. Because we know that Emil Yeo was the Supreme Grand Sheik. And he, oftentimes when the Prophet left, he would take over Temple No. 1. But it's been stated that Supreme Grand Sheik, Emil Yeo, was allegedly threatened and beaten by adept Charles Kirkman Bay and was in hiding. So Prophet Noble Drew Ali said that if you want European Grand Sheiks, I'll give them to you. Anyway. Personal researchers found that Freud knew Jawali well, and that Freud, Master Farah Muhammad, or known as David Ford L, moved secretly throughout America for 20 years before he started to open aspects of his works, according to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And Prophet Noble Jawali passed form on Saturday, July 20th, 1929, at his home, 3603 Indiana Avenue, at 10:10 p.m. at the age of 43. The same date, 1 year later, earlier, when the corporate body also officially changed and reorganized in its form as the Moore Science Temple of America. That was no coincidence. That was a ritual. So at this bedside was Dr. At his bedside was Dr. Clarence Payne L., attorney Anthony Payne, Aaron Payne L., who was the son of Clarence Payne L., his father-in-law, Brother Foreman Bay, and the prophet's wife, Sarah Mary Drew Ali. Now, Dr. Clarence Payne L. filed the death certificate, which proclaimed that the prophet died of tuberculosis pneumonia, which I've actually seen a copy of. Although the exact circumstances of his death is unknown, the autopsy ruled that, even though there was never an official autopsy, but this is what they stated, that he died of pneumonia and tuberculosis, even though he was curing pneumonia and tuberculosis with his herbs and with his remedies. Despite the official report, many of the followers suspected that his death was caused by injury from the police or from temple members vibing for Ali's position had killed him. And one more told the Chicago Defender that the prophet was not ill. His work was done and he had laid his head upon the lap of one of his followers and just passed out. According to the oral statements of prophecy by Prophet Noble Ali, Brother Aikud Bey of Illinois said that the Holy Prophet said, "If I cannot teach you here, I will teach you on the soul plane." Nevertheless, an autopsy was never conducted and a full scale police investigation never conducted. Nevertheless, the prophet's body was taken to Frank Edwards Funeral Parlor at 4136 Michigan Avenue, and the funeral services was held Friday, July 26, 1929 at 1:30 p.m. at the Parthian Temple on 37th Place and State Street. The prophet's body was laid to rest at the Burr Oak Cemetery, Arcadia Lawn, Lot 44, Grave 7. Now, there's an article of Aaron Payne in which that shows him with white gloves on at the head of them leading the prophet's body, the coffin. And at the bottom of the article, it states that he was going to be the new head of the organization. So we have another person in which that was vibing obviously for power. It is said that he even took the chart off the wall with him, storming out of the conference of 1929. But we'll get to that in a second. And actually, allegedly, Charles Kirkland Bay of Temple 9 conducted the funeral rites of Prophet Noble Jawali. Yet, allegedly, he was one of the co-conspirators. Nevertheless, the one who was supposed to be put in charge was Supreme Grand Sheikh Edward Milley Ill. And as a matter of fact, Supreme Grand Sheikh Edward Milley Ill wrote to Supreme Business Manager Aaron Payne L, dated August 14, 1929, in reading your letter to Brother Thomason L. a few minutes ago, and in view of the wishes of the prophet as laid down in his laws to me by myself, I wish to call your attention to the fact that it was all his will that we hold the coming convention of 1929, beginning September 15th to the 20th of the same month. And he goes on, my objection is only that the date which was made by the prophet is considered law with me, and remember all that he said. As long as you do that, I will tell you, you will be all right. But when you fail to obey my orders, you will have trouble. Having talked this matter over with all the governors, I find them all in favor of supporting the date of the convention to lay down our prophet. Now, as business manager, I am asking you to give way to the time of the prophet's choice and arrange your dates accordingly, which begin September 15th to September 20th inclusive. This will also give them more time for the preparation of the same. We must all do what we can for peace, for the progress of advance may manifest itself in all of our actions. This is done all else as well. Trusting this meeting, your approval. I am your brother in Islam, Edward Emilio. In another letter, he goes on to stay in the same day. He told Aaron Payne to stay in line with the prophet's structure and practices from the time of the National Convention to hold their Adept Chamber meetings. And at the second Moorish Science Temple of America annual convention, Supreme Grand Sheikh Emilio Ill nominated Charles Kirkman Bates, the position of Supreme Grand Moderator and Advisor. Even so, it was approved by 2/3 of the vote. Many loyal followers of Prophet Nubadr Ali stormed out of the 1929 convention. Supreme Business Manager Aaron Payne L. even took the MSTA charter with him. And Ira Johnson Bey was highly upset with the Supreme Grand Sheikh Edward Miller Ill for not nominating him for the position of Supreme Grand Advisor and Moderator. So he was trying to take charge of the movement, start with the people who had the paperwork first and foremost. So he asked some of his followers to go after Aaron Payne L., who lived at 3722 Perry Avenue, who took the MSTA charter on September 23rd, 1929. And these men was J. Mosby L. and J. Davis L. and G. Johnson Bay and S. Gibbons Bay. And on September 25th, 1929, Ira Johnson Bay had more of his followers kidnap Charles Kirkman Bay to get the certificate Charles Kirkman Bay had been given when appointed Supreme Grand Advisor and Moderator, which is said to have 21 governors. The original title of the Grand Sheikh signatures upon it from the said 21 temples. He also claimed to possess Prophet Nubadr Ali's last will and testament. Now, Johnson Bey told him that Brother Kirkman Bey must be brought in, and I want the Sheikhs to go after him, and you better arm yourselves, and in case he refused to come in voluntarily, you can use force and bring Kirkman Bey dead or alive, and by all means get the certificate. All right? So they went to Charles Kirkman Bey's house at 442 West Elm Street and took him in front of his wife in broad daylight and forced him into a waiting taxi cab. You know, then they took him back to Ira Johnson Bay's at 4137 South Parkway, you know, which actually was the home of Compton Johnson Bay. And some of these men were D. Francis Jackson Bay, Mosey Jackson Bay, Eugene Jackson Bay, who was the father of Mosey Jackson Bay, and J. Stevenson Bay, who was killed by Sergeant Frank Reynolds. And it was Mosey Jackson Bay, Eugene Jackson Bay's father, that took Charles Kirkman Bay physically out of his home. A member at 3140 Indiana Avenue told the police about Mosey Johnson Bay's involvement, and they went to his house at 11297 Townsend Street. From there, Mosey Johnson Bay led the police to where Charles Kirkman Bay was held, and the police arrived around 11 a.m., to rescue Brother Charles Kirkman Bay. And it was Sergeant O'Toole that finally found Charles Kirkman Bay, who yelled out, "Don't shoot, I'm the man you're looking for. Please save me." Nevertheless, Ira Johnson Bay was finally arrested after a shootout with the police, and over 1,000 police officers surrounded the house. And Ira Johnson Bay refused to release Charles Kirkman Bay, and when the police tried to break in and rescue him, a shootout ensued. And subsequently, approximately 64 members were arrested, even Supreme Grand Sheikh Emilio. And it was reported that over 100 bullets was fired, and at least 3 dead, one being a follower of Ira Johnson Bay. And Ira Johnson Bay was charged with murdering a police officer, which was William Gallagher. And the other police officer, Jesse D. Hall. Killer is unknown. All right, so it wasn't until later, while in prison, he started calling himself a Law L and gained a little small following from there. And Adept John Given L stayed in contact with him up until he passed from December 5th, 1949. All right. In 1929, Sister Mary Drew Ali, the prophet's second wife, began writing letters to the members, hoping to bring everybody back together as it was under the prophet. And in one of the letters, she wrote that our grand sheik is in the lion's den, and the demons are everywhere, trying to tear down the movement. The grand sheik she was referring to was, of course, Supreme Grand Sheik Edward E. Melville, who had not yet been released from jail, you know. And so all of the traitors now being led by Charles Crimson Bay and his rebels, later reformed the Moral Science Temple of America Incorporated. Now, by 1934, Mary Drew Ali, feeling nothing left to do to fight the demons, as she referred to them as, and under her father's brother, Foreman Bay, directed request Mary Drew Ali to give in to Charles Crimson Bay and his Morris Temple of America Incorporated group, and gave them all of her official paperwork. And this gave Charles Crimson Bay even more determination. Okay. And see, this is the information which that isn't being told to people. And this is why the confusion. And so Supreme Grand Advisor and Moderator Charles Kirkland Bay, as he was called, attempted to take over the Moorish movement from Supreme Grand Sheik Emilio. And on September 26, 1930, Supreme Grand Sheik Emilio sent Charles Kirkland Bay an official temple letter and to other temples that the credentials of those listed below was revoked. It was Charles Kirkland Bay, M. Dove L., T. W. Osley Bay, F. Nelson Bay, who of Nelson Bay becomes the second up under Charles Crimson Bay to hold the position in the Morris Science Temple of America Incorporated, and E. Mentor Bay, M. Cliff Bay, C. Charles Charles Bay. Now, it's funny that C. Charles Bay actually was posing with Prophet Noble Drew Ali because he became part of the Supreme Council. And so right after that, actually he started pulling away and started trying to do his own thing or whatever the case is. But his name is taken off the roll, as well as also his credentials are stripped. And you have H. Glover L., C. Smith Bay, H. Dove L., J. Traller Bay, J. Williams Bay, and J. Smith Bay, and G. Cook Bay, and I. Cook Bay, and M. I. Washington Bay, and etc. There's about 16 of them or so. Therefore, between 1930 and 1934, Charles Crimson Bay tried to usurp Supreme Grand Sheik Emilio, and in 1934, he sets up his own MSTA Incorporated under a new set of rules and regulations. And he held that position from 1934 until 1959, when he passed away. Later, after the 1930s, once Charles Crimson Bay faction began to strengthen itself, there was three petitions filed in court against Supreme Grand Sheik Emilio. And that was February the 13th, 1931, by J. Jones Bay, February 23rd, 1932, by Charles Crimson Bay, and 1933 by S. Lovett Bay and T. Crumley Bay. That was vacated on November 22nd, 1933. Now, all of these petitions were to remove Supreme Grand Sheik Emilio and place Supreme Grand Advisor and Moderator Charles Crimson Bay as the head of the Morris movement, and all of them fell. Matter of fact, J. Shelby L. of Temple No. 1 even tried to get the leadership of Temple No. 1 from Supreme Grand Sheik Emilio. And on January the 22nd, 1935, by filing with the courts against him, and he fell. But he took some members with him that started their own temple group. By this time, the only thing the Supreme Grand Sheik had left was Temple 1. And his legal possessions, Morris documents, which everyone was still after. And so in 1935, Supreme Grand Sheik Edward E. Miller died on a business trip, and his wife, Diala L., received his possessions. Even so, to dishonor and belittle the latter Supreme Grand, the late Supreme Grand Chief Edward Emilie L. Morris Science Temple of America Incorporated, and the former Supreme Grand Chief and moderator started saying he died in a mental institution. And you can get this information from the controversial years of the Morris Science Temple of America by Chief Minister Dr. Rossati L. Now, here's a letter type from Supreme Grand Chief Emilie L. to Charles Kirkland Bay dated September 26, 1930. And it says that Charles Kirkland Bay, Brother Charles Kirkland Bay, this is to notify you that the above named organization, Morris Science Temple of America, in convention September 15th to 20th, reconsidered by voting out the mistake made by the second annual convention of 1929. And in so doing, you held your membership role. And when our prophet was here, we hope you will cooperate with the organization under the five principles. We hope further that you will comply with this notice and govern yourself accordingly, as there is but one Supreme Grand Advisor in the Morris Science Temple of America, and that's being Prophet Nobuhiro Ali. And all and anyone else who attempts to be from now on is assumed authority on himself and is liable for the penalties of law. Peace. Morris Science Temple of America, Nobuhiro Ali founder, Emilie L. Chairman. All right, Foster Hall, 44 and State Street, Chicago, Illinois. So, as you see, that's what actually took place. And as a matter of fact, there also was a verdict in which that was passed down through the court, in which that we've talked about that they fell. And you can actually find this. And it says that the document is the verdict in favor of Supreme Grand Chief Edward Emilie L. by Judge Eberhardt on May 7, 1931, case number 1746990 against Charles Kirkland Bay and his Morris Science Temple of America Incorporated. In other words, Charles Kirkland Bay group lost. This is why by 1934 they had to use the Morris Science Temple of America Incorporated, so they never could get the reins of the original Morris Science Temple of America. And being that it was incorporated later on, by the 1960s, they end up falling up under the 501c3. And no longer up under the 508, which was up under the Hearst statutes. All right, so this is some of the things in which that took place. And many brothers and sisters going around spouting that that they know Morris information, you know, and really they don't, because very few grand sheiks or sheiks have actually spoken out about this. I am also a grand sheik of the Morris Holy Temple of Science of the World. And so therefore it is our duty to tell you the truth of what actually took place. And with Millie Ill's own words is that I joined the movement on January the 1st, 1927, and on June 1st, 1927, I was approved of and appointed by the Prophet Nobuhiro Ali as the first assistant chairman of the Morris Science Temple of America. And on the 1st of August of the same year, I received an appointment for the Prophet as the general chairman of the said Morris Science Temple of America, and was made Grand Sheik under the Prophet in February 1928. I wrote insurance for the Prophet in the year 1928, and at the close of the said year, in the first annual convention, the Divine Prophet Nobuhiro Ali promoted me to the office of and rank of Supreme Grand Sheik. This promotion by the Prophet took place in the first setting of the Supreme Grand Council, representing the Morris Science Temple of America, and in public meeting at 3140 Indiana Avenue in the month of November 1928, the Prophet made it very plain in the three statements that he was the Supreme Grand Head, Brother Edward Emilie L. was Supreme Grand Sheik next to me, the Prophet, and that means all the temples in this government, and that there is but one Morris Science Temple of America, and this is mine. And Nobuhiro Ali, at the official meeting in February 1929, I was made shepherd of his flock by him and was told by him to feed his lambs and his sheep. All right, so Prophet Mnubuadra Ali chose Edward Emile Ill as the Supreme Grand Sheik, which was the position under him. So with the death of Prophet Mnubuadra Ali, you can actually see a picture of Edward Emile Ill sitting in the chair or in the seat of Prophet Mnubuadra Ali. And this is the only picture in which that we have, even though they said that John Given Ill sat in that seat and stated that he was a reincarnated prophet. But the picture in which that we have is of Edward Emile Ill, who we know actually was made the Supreme Grand Sheik. Now, this is another thing about the problem with the destruction of the temple of the Morasan temple of Prophet Mnubuadra Ali. Brother Edward Emile Ill stated that the Holy Prophet told him, "You do what I tell you, never mind what they say. I have given you law, Quran, and Constitution, and I expect for you to enforce my law and do what I say. Never mind what they say or do. They can do nothing but die." Now, Dayala Mili Ill, the wife of Supreme Grand Sheik Edward Emile Ill, tried to use Supreme Grand Sheik Emile Ill's paperwork to introduce William Morris L., who was her lover, in 1935 as the Supreme Grand Sheik and Edward Emile Ill's successor. But this failed, as William Morris L. was rejected by the remaining members of the Temple One, number one, over time. And several members took what was left of the lawful temple paperwork, the original Articles of Incorporation, and gave it to Charles Kirkman Bates Group, the Morris Science Temple of Incorporated, thus solidifying his or their position even more. Many are claiming to be the real temple, number one, of Grand Sheik Edward Emile L. Most have to appear to be temple charters for the home office. However, the original home office stopped existing when Sister Diala Mosley L. officially ended it, and a temple charter by itself only gives one permission to start a temple, not a home office. So Prophet Mnubuadra Ali warned this would take this movement down so low that it would disappear from the face of the earth, and that's exactly what happened. So there is no original Morasan Temple of America. It was destroyed. The home office, the last of the temple, even though there are some who say that they have resurrected it. But anyone now can say that they have resurrected it. And that's the problem which that happens with the Great Schism. Because anyone came along after the death of Prophet Mnubuadra Ali and used the teachings in order to say that they have resurrected something. But there was more disturbing things in which that occurred after Prophet Mnubuadra Ali's passing, passing form. But before the second Moorish Science Temple of America annual national convention that caused further splits, Sheik Abdat John Given L publicly announced that he was the reincarnated Prophet Mnubuadra Ali, like I said, August 7, 1929. And at that meeting that was held at the Parthians Hall, 3737 South State Street, Chicago, 3 weeks later, on September 19, 1929, during the second annual national convention of the Morasan Temple of America, John Given Ill would once again make his declaration of reincarnation. And the Moorish convention was entering into its final hours. Lengthy discussions had been held concerning the prophet's last instruction. And it was around this time that John Given Ill entered the convention hall, walked straight up to the platform, and he sits himself in the vacant seat and declares, "I am back." And then said, "I am Prophet Mnubuadra Ali, reincarnated, and Prophet Mnubuadra Ali, the founder. We too are one and the same." And silence fell over the convention hall. However, when a vote was finally taken, 2/3 of the delegates voted still Charles Kirkman Bay to be the Supreme Grand Advisor and Moderator, assistant to Edward Emile Ill, who is the Supreme Grand Sheik and official head of the Moorish movement. You know, so nevertheless, by the end of September, a number of subordinate temples would begin to follow John Given Ill, the reincarnated prophet, and this faction developed into the reincarnated Morasan Temple of America, as well as also the Reform More Science of America, and later, the More Science Temple, the Divine and National Movement of North America, and several other branches in which that came from out of that. Now, based on the Macaribin files by Brother R. Edward L., he states that that upon coming of age, John Given L. traveled west, finally settling in Chicago, Illinois, May 14, 1925. Shortly thereafter, he embraced the teaching of Prophet Nabudra Ali and joined and became a member of the Chicago Subordinate Temple No. 1 in 1926. After a brief period in the temple, he was initiated into his adept chamber, and he also became the chauffeur mechanic for the Prophet Nabudra Ali. It was reported that one day while working on the Prophet's automobile shortly after his death, John Given L. fainted. When his eyes were examined, he had the sign of the star and crescent in one eye and the seven seal in the other. Right then, they knew the Prophet had reincarnated into his chauffeur. Now, that's coming from the Macaribin, the Macaribin files. Okay. See, there was some mysticism in which that was utilized in order to draw crowds, and it was used in a religious manner, a miraculous manner, in order to bring people, you know, especially after the death of Prophet Nabudra Ali. It was very easy to sway the minds of the people. You know, another strange incident in which that occurred a month before the death of Prophet Nabudra Ali is that Prophet Nabudra Ali went out while out on bail waiting indictment. He appoints Sheikh David Ford L. acting Supreme Grand Chairman of the More Science Temple of America. Some say it was merely over the Temple One, but normally when Prophet Nabudra Ali is out of town, Temple One is held is left to Supreme Grand Sheikh Edward Emily Hill. But like we said, where were Supreme Grand Sheikh Emily Hill when this appointment was made? As we said, that obviously he was threatened and even beaten, according to some reports, by Charles Kirkland Bay. So obviously, Edward Emily Hill was not around during this time period, and Prophet Nabudra Ali had to appoint someone he knew and trusted. Okay? And so, David Ford Hill claimed that Drew Ali had left him in charge and declared himself the reincarnation of Nabudra Ali also. All right. And arguments erupted over the issue of the proper successor. Those who have been loyal to Claude Green Bay argued that David Ford Hill had not been with the More Science Temple long enough to succeed Nabudra Ali, and insisted that Charles Kirkland Bay, the former schoolmate of Prophet Nabudra Ali, but one of Green's closest allies, wanted to assume the position. And another faction handed down by Ira Johnson Bay claimed that Charles Kirkland Bay was unfit. And the More Science Temple remained a divided house, as it still do to this day. And thousands of members swore their allegiance to David Ford Hill, but the majority rejected him and decided to be loyal to Charles Kirkland Bay. And the inner violence, the arrests, and the several predominant members, and the balling scandal that followed promoted David Ford Hill or fraud to break away from the MSTA. Fearful for his own safety, David Ford Hill, who becomes Master Farah Muhammad allegedly, moved to Detroit, Michigan. And as we said, he opens up, he takes the temple, which that was by James Lomax Bay in Detroit, Michigan, and he takes that temple and transforms it into the Temple of Islam, or the Temple of the Lord's Found Temple of Islam. Or the Temple of the Lord's Found People of Islam. Of course, that becomes a lost Temple of Islam, or which they become the Lord's Found Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. Now, some say that this was not the Ford, but David Ford L. or Ford name is mentioned in the Moorish literature, the Industrious Act of the Muslims. The name Ford is mentioned twice in paragraph in the second paragraph. Ford is inclined to give them great antiquity. The primary colors alone was used, said Ford, by the Greeks the Egyptians, the Greeks, and the Arabs. So in the origin of the nation Islam, the Farrakhan controversy part 4 by Sergeant Sam Smith, it says Ford told his host tales of great African and Asian empires. So this is what he used to teach on. And this makes sense based on the Moorish literature. You go to the Moorish literature to Industrious Act of Muslims and you see the word from the name Ford in the second paragraph twice. It's even said within the supreme lessons of the gods on earth, or what is known as the English Sea Lessons 1 through 36, that when asked, you know, about, I came to North America, I came to the wilderness of North America by myself. It says, he implies he came as a free man of his own free will. His first appearance in 1910 is said to have come in contact with Noble Dra Ali, Moorish Temple of Science. His second coming, July 4, 1930. Note, it is said he proclaimed himself the reincarnation of Noble Dra Ali. This is when he began to teach the knowledge of God here in North America. He set up his first temple in Detroit, where it is said he had as many as 8,000 followers between 1930 and 34. He disappeared in 1934. So thus, according to the lessons, David Ford L., or who is known as Master Fry, is said to have come in contact with Noble Dra Ali in the first appearance in 1910. Even the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad states that in 1910, Master Fry Muhammad appeared in the United States in New York. After the death of Prophet Noble Dra Ali in 1929, Moorish Science Temple of America annual national conference, David Ford is reported to have said he will bring America to his knees for the death of Noble Dra Ali and the attacks on the Moorish Americans by the local police in 1928-29. And one month later, the stock market crashed, and many of the former Moors saw this man as a prophet and followed him to Detroit, where the Nation of Islam was born. During his time, David Ford L. started referring to himself as the reincarnated prophet Noble Dra Ali. And in the beginning stages of the movement, he was known as Prophet W.D. Ford, or Fry. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated in an interview with Buzz Anderson in 1971 that in 1930, Master Fry Muhammad used the name W.D. Ford, often signed it W.D. Wallace D. Ford, often signed W.D. Ford. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated that he did not know what the D stood for. It was still for David. Some say Douglas. And in the third year, 1933, he signed his name, W.F. Ford, which stood for Master Farad Muhammad. And Elijah Muhammad said that about his teacher in the book, Messenger to the Black Man, that Allah came to us from the holy city of Mecca, Arabia, in 1930. He used the name W.D. Ford, often signing it W.D. Ford, and in the third year, 1933, he signed his name W.F. Ford, which stood for Wallace Ford, Ford Muhammad. The FBI had photographs and fingerprints of Wallace Dud Ford on file. And the FBI alleged that Ford used 58 aliases during his lifetime. He went by names such as David Ford L., Wally Farad, Farad Muhammad, W.D. Ford, F. Farad Muhammad. However, he is generally known within the Nation of Islam as Master Farad Muhammad. All right. Now, there's even another post or picture that, according to the Washington Post, dated April 19, 1997, issued We Are Not Afro-Americans, We Are the Washington, is a photo from the from Her Highness Empress Vidyasi Tierra Washington Turnica Gaston L. Bay collection, in which that shows W.D. Ford, Timothy Drew, and Corella Drew all sent together as children. So hence Timothy Drew, later known as Holy Prophet Noble Drew Ali, did know, he did know Wallace D. Ford, later known as David Ford L. or Master Farah Muhammad, and hence the reason why he chose him to be the assistant to him during his time of need. Because obviously he did not know who to trust, and this was the person in which that he thought that he can trust the most. So it was based on the trust factor. In other words, when you're surrounded by snakes, you know which, you don't know which one is going to bite. All right. So when people speak about, well, that's what happened in 1916, was them two getting at it. But if they knew each other as children, then it would be seen as, family splat, spat. Now, here's another article from the Universal Truth, Volume 2, Number 3, Editor, Prince A. Cuba. Now, Prince A. Cuba is actually a 5%er, one of the old gods. And he shows that the May 26, 1933, photo released by Detroit Police Department identifies W.D. Ford. His authenticity has been disputed by Nation Islam officials since 1963 and has been included as an insert here for comparison with Detroit Free Press photo of November 24, 1932. And it says that Farad was released December 6, 1932 after agreeing to leave the city. He was arrested May 25th, 1933, when he was found again in Detroit. But these two pictures, even though it's been disputed by the Nation of Islam, actually are pictures of the same man. And this is why many within the Moral Science Temple of America states that the individual David Ford L. in the upper left-hand hand corner of the Moral Science Temple of America, October 15th through the 20th, 1928 convention, first annual convention. Prophet Noble Drew Ali is the founder, but it says that that is him with the bow tie on and the fez on in the upper left-hand corner. Right. As a matter of fact, according to the biography of Noble Drew Ali, Exhuming of a Nation by Long Pleasant Bay, it is him also in the upper left-hand corner is Farah Muhammad L. of Detroit, a Michigan Temple number 4, aka David Fordell. It is also confirmed in the Reparations Equal War, which will free and unite black people by Dr. Ali Muhammad, former member of the NOI and FOI of Nation Islam, states that Master Farah Muhammad under the alias of David Fordell is pictured in the upper left hand corner. However, the above picture give you the dates, which is October 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20th of 1928. However, according to sources, on January 20th, 1926, Farad was arrested for violating the Chicago Prohibition Law, and a month later, on February 15th, 1926, for violations of State Poison Act, he was sentenced to 6 months to 6 years at San Quentin Penitentiary on June 12th, 1926, for allegedly selling narcotics in his restaurant. Assumingly, he had served 3 years in San Quentin before gaining release on May 17th, 1929. This is what it said, is that this is when he was released. Now, this is coming from Dr. Wesley Muhammad's Master Farah Muhammad, Who Is He and Who Is He Not, page 39. However, based on the above picture, this may have happened several, at least 7 months earlier, or maybe, you know, and it is just a case of lookalike. That's what some people say, just a case of lookalike. However, the FBI case number 56062 matches the fingerprints of the person known as W.F. Muhammad, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation under the United States Department of Justice had this in Chicago, Illinois on February 9, 1943, and that Farad was arrested in Detroit Police Department on 5-26-33 with the case number 45138, in which that It would appear to be the same man. And that the Moors are right and exact about that information, even though the nation and many of those might dispute it. However, the messenger's son, Wallace Wafdeen Muhammad, who took over the Nation of Islam in 1975, said in several speeches that he was in communication with the founder, saying, "Master Farah Muhammad is not dead, brothers and sisters. He is physically alive, and I talk to him whenever I get right. I don't talk to him in any spooky way. I go to the phone and dial his number." Why? Because this same Master Farah Muhammad was living in Oakland, California, and working and had a restaurant. Nevertheless, Wafdeen Muhammad claimed that Farah had returned to the United States under the name Muhammad Abdullah. And in 1976, Wafdeen Muhammad had appointed Master Professor Muhammad Abdullah as Imam of Muhammad Mosque 77. Now, he was still known as Professor now, Muhammad Abdullah. Now, remember, that was the name in which that was used by Professor Drew, which is Drew Ali, as well as also by David Ford L. or slash Master Farah Muhammad as being being a professor. But it just is no coincidence that he became the imam over Muhammad's Mosque 77 in Oakland, California, and that the November 26, 1976 issue of the NOI journal Bilalian News reports that Master Abdullah's first khutbah at the mosque, and it shows the picture of the Bilalian News, and Muhammad did not state that Master Abdullah was Farah until after Abdullah's death in 1992, and that Abdullah himself never publicly claimed to be Farah. And Muhammad Abdullah himself denies that he was Farah, saying, "It is all right if I am Farah Muhammad for Wallace D. Muhammad. I taught him some lessons, but I am not the same person who taught Elijah Muhammad, and I am not God." However, in 1981, a Pakistani scholar, Zi Al-Azhari, researched Farah's life and claimed that Farah was identical with Muhammad Abdullah, a Pakistani Ahmadiyya, Muslim who had been an advisor of Elijah Muhammad since the late 1950s and who was the tutor of his son and eventual successor, Wafdeen Muhammad. And in 1991, there was a report in the Orthodox newspaper that carries the story that Farah was alive and living in California and worshipped as a Orthodox Muslim. And W.D. Farah did not state that Muhammad Abdullah was Farah until after his death. You know, in 1993, Imam Wafdeen Muhammad publicly stated that he knew for a fact that Farah had returned to the United States. Okay? Matter of fact, in Fayetteville, during the summer of 2006, Brother Michael Wortham, who is known as Michael L. Babasu Akani Bey, videotaped Brother Bilal Muhammad, who was in his early 70s at the time, and told us that he knew Master Farah Muhammad personally and that he worked with him in Farah's restaurant in Oakland, California during the late 60s. And he was taught and trained by Master Farah Muhammad. This is what was said. This is what was on the videotape. This is what was told to us. Now, this dude is in his 70s. He don't got no reason to lie to us. We didn't ask him to. He just wanted to say he wanted to tell his story. But there's many books in which that you can go to. You can go to The Rise and the Fall of Elijah Muhammad by Carl Evans, The Messenger. The Rise and the Fall of Elijah Muhammad. You can go to An Original Man, The Life and Times of Elijah Muhammad by Claude Andrew Cliggs, the third. You can go to these books and read them. Read them. And they say that Elijah Muhammad himself was also part of Prophet Abu Ali's, as well as also the UNIA of Marcus Garvey. He was part of these organizations. He's also a black. He was also a Mason and a Shriner. Hell, he says that within his own book, The Secrets of Freemasonry, by Elijah Muhammad, Messenger of Allah. He says that he used to be a Mason until he got into Islam. Islam has been practicing said secrecy called higher masonry or Shriner. That is a small degree of his knowledge of Islam taught to him in secrecy by the society. However, the real secret of Freemasonry is that there is no secret. It's about you, Hiram Abiff, to some people, the Kushites, children of the sun, or the children of the light, Freemasons, the real Freemasons. Everybody else is faking. Because you must be able to absorb light to be a Freemason, to become a son or a daughter of light. It's just that simple. You get another book. It's called The Moorish Circle 7, The Rise of Islamic Faith Among Blacks in America and Its Masonic Origins. It's written by Keith Moore, 32nd Degrees. As a matter of fact, there's a photo of the Moorish Science Temple of America First Annual Convention, and you can actually see there's several, many Moors who say that this is Elijah Muhammad, who's in the back, almost parallel to Prophet Noble Ali, who is in the front, and he is in the far back, and that is Elijah Muhammad. And even it was told to us by Hakeem H.Y. Bey that Elijah, his wife, Clara Muhammad, as well as many other family members were part of the Detroit Temple, number 4, up under Supreme Grand Governor James Lomax Bey. All right, so we're going to go to the lines. Let's see who got some questions here, because we've been going on here for quite some time. Let's go to area code 910. You're on the line. Area code 910. Peace. Area code 910. All right, we're going to go to area code 314. Area code 314, you're on the line.
Peace.
Peace, God.
How you doing, God?
I'm doing great.
Yes, sir. But I was very enlightened at the lecture you was giving tonight about the history of Noble Drew Ali and the Moore Science Temple. I got a little more understanding also about the Moore Science Temple Incorporated.
Right.
And the reason why is a Moore Science Temple Incorporated.
Right.
And them being under the 501c3. That explains a lot why they cannot, teach the way they should teach.
Right.
Especially when it comes to nationality, law, and birthright. And
that's right.
So, therefore, they're stagnant and they
right.
can never go anywhere.
Yep.
Instead of being under 508 or status, you know. So, I got a better understanding why.
Right.
Another thing about Master for Art Muhammad. I know in the Nation of Islam, I know I was a member at one time. I was known as Brother Robert 6X. And how I got my axe, you had to write the letter.
Right.
You had to let it perfectly.
Right.
And in order to get your axe.
That's right.
So I spent months trying to get that letter to perfection. And I finally got it. And now you're just telling me that this man is not who he said he was. And I said, wow, that's kind of a pill to swallow, you know.
Yes, well, sir. I mean, he was appointed by Prophet Noble Drew Ali as assistant Supreme Grand Chairman to sit in his seat, you know, while he went through his trials and tribulations, you know, during the time of when Claude Greene Bey was murdered. And and before he got indicted for the murder. So he chose David Ford L., who supposedly be Master Brahma Muhammad, to sit in that particular chair.
Okay. Okay. So he must have been of some kind of good repute, you know. Not to use that word, but in good standings among Noble Drew Ali and the rest of the high officials in the Moore Science Temple of science.
Right. Obviously, as far as he was concerned, he was he had more trust factor than anyone else at that time.
Okay. Okay. And also, I was dealing with the fact that C. Kirkman Bay.
Right.
Now, you said C. Kirkman Bay was
right,
one
Charles
of...
Right, Kirkman Bay. Was
Charles Kirkman Bay, he was one of the betrayers?
Yes.
Because, see, I used to always, in presentation in more science temples, they said that all honors go to Noble Drew Ali and all praises go to C. Kirkman Bay and R.F. Nelson Bay
right.
and R. Jones. I mean, these brothers, you know.
Right.
So these brothers were...
infiltrators.
Infiltrators. Okay, I got now. I got that straight also.
Right, Masonic infiltrators.
So I know I've done
right.
Right.
And I'm just talking about it in general, not all of them per se. Some of them might have had good intentions.
Okay.
However, when you take an organization and you form it into your own, which is the Moore Scientific of America, of Prophet Noble Drew Ali, is not the Moore Scientific of America incorporated by Charles Kirkman Bay. And now... majority of the temples are put up on the 501c3 status since the 1960s, then really what you have done has you have basically stifled the civic movement of the organization, because in the 501c3, you can't be political.
Wow. Wow, that's why they object to a lot of things I was saying in that temple.
Right.
That explains it.
Yeah,
it sure does. You know, because that's right. And I did right by stop going to one. I done right.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yes. I done right, and then I stopped going to them and joined your, you know, the temple number two, North Carolina, which you was the grand sheik.
Right.
You the one that nationalized me, and being in the Washington Nation, so I know I made the right move.
Yeah, and for anyone else who wants to know more about this information, you can join us via our classes every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Send me a link for the classes. You can send them to Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, Healing Wings, W-I-N-G-S, online, O-N-L-I-N-E, at yahoo.com. So Healing Wings online at yahoo.com. Send me an email, and I will link you into the classes for Monday and Thursdays, in which that we teach this Moorish Divine National Movement information, the actual truth, no holding back, no lying to you, no spookism, no mysticism,
right?
But telling you the truth about what took place and the esoteric teachings in which that is encoded inside of the Moorish Holy Quran Circle 7, inside of the 101s.
Right. But you have to have the computer for that, don't you?
Yes, you have to have the computer.
Oh, okay.
For, link up the classes. But you can also use the phone, too, and you just listen in. You won't be able to see the slide presentation, which is on Microsoft PowerPoint, but you will be able to listen in onto the call like a conference call, so you can actually... If you have a computer and a phone, beautiful. If you don't have a computer, then you can still listen on the phone.
Right. Good. Very well. Good. I'm gonna start doing that then.
All right.
Let me show you some more of that instruction.
Right. So when we're speaking about infiltrators, we're talking about during that particular time period, you had people who was egotistical and they was jacking for the position of Prophet Noble Drew Ali. And they banded together against him in order to get their ideologies to the forefront. And one of the ones in which that I showed you through the information who did that more so than anyone else was Charles Kirkman Bay, who happened to have been a childhood friend of Prophet Noble Drew Ali, a classmate of his, You know, but obviously they weren't as close as they used to be because Charles Cookman Bay went along with Clark Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow. Taking over, with the takeover.
Now, what is the phone number to that the Monday and Thursday classes?
I might have to give it out. It's from any meeting. Hold on, let me see here. I can pull it up. Just hold on a second.
Okay.
But you can continue talking or ask me a question as I do so.
Okay. Yes. I know I have made a mistake by joining one those temples. You know, because I know something was wrong when I first came to the temples. So I heard a lot of singing, and it just wasn't. They were saying anything about what I heard or saw on the DVD tapes.
Right.
Like Taj Tariq Bey, Hakeem Bey, and Sister Myra L.
Right.
There was nothing like them, you know.
Right.
And that's what I was looking for.
Well, that's the reason why. Because they pull up on the 501c3. So this status is compromised. Because they have to listen to the state policies as far as that their organization cannot be, quote unquote, political. They cannot put forth civics and law into the public. And that's to deal with those particular affairs. Because to do so would be a violation and they would lose their tax exempt status.
I got you. Then they would shut them down as well, wouldn't they?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We, on the other hand, the Moorish Holy Temple of Signs of the World goes back to 1916. So we specifically say, no, we started, you know, we've been here since 1916. So therefore, we fall up under the 508 Heard statutes, recorded, you know, through the Holy Temple of Science and then later on through the Moorish Science Temple of America of 1926 and then 1928.
Okay.
You know, in which that we are still tax exempt, but we do not fall up under a 501c3 status.
Right.
We are an actual church or temple. So we do not have to listen to the particular laws based on not being political. Because we do not have those restrictions.
Okay.
But the number is 218.
The
number is 218.
Okay.
339. Mm-hmm. 2409. So 218-339-2409.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got you.
And the code is the two. This is the guest access code is 266-8355. That's 266-8355.
Okay, I got you.
All right, so come on into the classes for those that want to learn more information, not just from a temple perspective, just putting your hands up and reading from the Moorish literature, the Moorish Holy Quran, or the 101s or whatever the case may be, but even going further in depth, breaking this information down from an esoteric / adept chamber perspective, because since the death of Prophet Nabi Jali, there actually has been no adept chamber. It had to be resurrected, and it came through by way of the Great Seal National Association of Moorish Affairs. And this is the school in which that Queen Valahara Bey comes out of. This is the school that Hakeem H.Y. Bey come out of. This is the school in which that Taj Tariq Bey come out of. This is also the school in which that I myself come out of. So if it was not for the Great Seal National Association of Moorish Affairs, this information you would not have in your hands today.
Yes, sir.
You would not have all this Moorish information and its Moorish Renaissance, which has been going on for the last 15 years. It wouldn't be here.
Yes, sir. What time did it start?
8 p.m. Classes start every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
8 o'clock.
So that'll be 7 here.
Eastern Standard Time, right. It'll be 7 for you.
Okay, I've got you.
All right, brother, we getting ready to head off of here. And we thank you for checking us out and listening to us once again.
Anytime, Moore.
All right, Moore, we appreciate you.
Peace and love, God.
Peace and love. Love, true peace, freedom, and justice, brother.
Good. Peace and honor.
All right, we're going to hit you up with the Grave Diggers, the 12 Jewels.
As long as you got mentally dead people who are living in the mental death, meaning living in the mental grave.
Before we get to that mental grave, let's get to you being an ex-slave, as well as also you taking this cruise, this United Washington cruise, in which that we are definitely promoting, and we want you to definitely check us out. The cruise is going to be happening March 21st through 25th, and there's three options for you. You want the interior room, you want the ocean view, or you want the balcony. You want to definitely give us a call at 252-257-3588. That's 252-257-3588 for more information. And we'll lead you in the right direction to get on this cruise. And if you think this information, in which that we drop or been dropping on the radio station for the last year and a half, is something you haven't seen nothing yet, because I will be doing a presentation and I'm going to kill this. I'm going to kill it. So you definitely want to come and check us out. You're going to be having a good time. You're going to be giving forth information, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, overstanding, understanding, every type of standing you can think of, we're going to be giving it to you. So once again, here go Grave Diggers and the 12 Jewels.
As long as you got mentally dead people who are living in the mental death, meaning living in the mental grave, you need somebody to dig that grave up and bring them back to life. There's no chance for a physical death, but there's a chance for the mentally dead. So we're going to come and resurrect them.
1212.
That's why they're going to need to resurrect them. I'm about to resurrect the mental dead by digging up their graves.
Niggas is caught up in the midst of six. You better grab a hold of your crucifix. And this is it, the black God exists. But can you understand this? Let me teach you a lesson. Yo, the preexistence of the mathematical biochemical equations, the manifestation of rock, plant, air, fire, and water, which are in its basic formation. Solid, liquid, and gases that cause the land masses, and the space catalysts, and all matter that exists in this dense third dimension. There must be observed the physical comprehension. It takes a nerve to be struck. Wisdom is the wise first spoken to wake up the dumb who've been sleeping. The fourth dimension is time. It goes inside the mind when the chakras energize up through the back of your spine. So observe as my G energy spikes a vital nerve. One swerve of the tongue, it pierces like a sword through the lung. Have you not heard the words chill as fast as bullets when you load negative thoughts to the chamber of your brain, and your mouth pulls the trigger that propels wickedness straight from hell, from the pits of your stomach where negativity dwell. I search the east coast and west coast down, and most found there's more towns that's like ghost towns. Everybody move, slow down, from uptown to Bucktown. Who a fuck now, Shaolin got the crown. And cops are still serving from Jamaica Ave to Myrtle, and cats carry more shells than turtles. Broken down park, your pussies are fertile. My hosts are never retail, keep females in these spells. If you eat well, you sleep well. Send enemies to hell. What makes hair, skin, epidermis, fingernail regenerate? Well, everything else disintegrate. A Teflon vessel, bullets can't penetrate. On the corner of my block, there stood this old man, a black immigrant from the land of Sudan. I used to tell stories to the children in the building, but never had a dollar to keep his pockets filled in. He bombed me on Deuteronomy, the science of astronomy, but didn't know the basic principles about economy. I said a wise man don't play the role of a fool. The first thing a man must obtain is 12 jewels. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding to help you achieve freedom, justice, equality, food, clothing, and shelter. After this, love, peace, and happiness. He had the nappiest head. A total satisfaction is to achieve one goal in the scheme of things. He who works like a slave, eats like a king.